Welcome to the Speak Up Talk Radio Network. I am your hostess, Pat Rulo. We bring you hand-selected hosts, podcasts, and talk radio programming with listening options, 24/7 streaming, or listen on demand. We also feature one-on-one segments with important guests, people who have something to say that you need to hear. And if you have something to say and would like to be featured on the network, please visit speakuptalkradio.com for all of the details, or contact us at PR@speakuptalkradio.com. Well, today's conversation has a singular hope, and that is that our listeners may come to recognize that people living with depression and the physical effects of untreated childhood trauma are not alone in their struggles and challenges. And I am so happy to share the air with author Adele M. Gill. Adele is a retired RN, BSN, a board-certified disability analyst, chaplain, author of the Inspiration Cafe blog, and three books, including her new inspirational self-help book, From Broken to Blessed, Embracing the Healing That Awaits You, written with Dr. Verna Benner Carson. Adele is a tireless mental health advocate living in Maryland, and she can be reached via email at adelemgill@gmail.com or visit theinspirationcafeblog.net. She has lots of valuable and inspiring information and help to share with us today. So welcome to the network, Adele.
Why, thank you, Pat.
I have been very much looking forward to our conversation today, and I know that you've got a lot to say that can help others listening. So let's just dig right in and talk about this inspirational self-help book that you wrote with Dr. Verna Benner Carson. Why did you decide to do this?
We decided to write From Broken to Blessed. It's a story about my own personal life for the 43.8 million Americans living with depression and mental illness. Many times mental illness is in part due to untreated childhood trauma. And we also wrote this for people living with autoimmune conditions, because often the mind-body connection involves autoimmune conditions, neuroimmune conditions such as MS, myasthenia, lupus, those things. We also want to help others that are affected by untreated childhood trauma. We want to help them move from broken to blessed in their own lives. You know, Pat, the truth is everyone has a past, a present, and a future. No one is exempt. You know, the past is a place to visit, not to dwell. But sometimes it's important to revisit the past just so you're able to heal and move forward in your life. About 10 years ago, I met my wall, and I began experiencing flashbacks, nightmares. They were relating to my youth. I really didn't understand what was going on. It was quite frightening. Finally, I sought help, and it did take me quite a while because of stigma of mental health. And I worked with a therapist and psychiatrist who treated me for depression and PTSD from untreated childhood trauma. At that point, they suggested that I start writing down all that came to me and from the nightmares and flashbacks, so I did. And before I knew it, I had 100 pages. That's how this book came to be.
And you have some stunning statistics as well to share. Maybe share some of those so that people could realize that this isn't an isolated situation, that this is very prevalent.
Right. It is so prevalent. You know, medical research reveals that there are three common mind-body effects of untreated childhood trauma: persistent depression, PTSD, and neuroautoimmune conditions. And they all three often go hand in hand. As I said a few minutes ago, examples of neuroimmune conditions: multiple sclerosis, lupus, myasthenia, fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, even arthritis can be a side effect of untreated childhood trauma. Now, some of the statistics that I found that I refer to often, one study revealed that 80% of young adults who suffered abuse and neglect met criteria for at least one psychiatric disorder by the age of 21. Also, 6 million children are involved every year in reports of child abuse. And we don't know all the full statistics on that. 1 in 5 in the U.S. experience some form of mental illness each year. That's 43.8 million Americans. And that includes depression. I didn't used to really think of depression as a mental illness, but it is, as is anxiety as well. The statistics also tell us that 21.4% will experience mental illness over their lifetime. That's really significant. 18.1% will have PTSD or another anxiety disorder. And 20.2 million Americans that experience substance abuse, 50% of them have co-occurring mental illness. That makes this book necessary.
It makes this conversation necessary as well, because as you're speaking, I'm thinking of the profound effects that our healthcare system has on all of this, because clearly these type of things are not recognized by our doctors. You have these autoimmune diseases pop up. Not many healthcare providers are really talking about that mind-body connection and looking backward. They're just trying to deal with the symptom and the medications to just push it and move it forward.
That could not be more true. I had a neurologist tell me that they treat either medically or psychiatrically, but not both. And you and I know the mind-body connection is such a strong and enduring thing that the mind and the body are connected by chemistry. The two are absolutely connected. But the medical profession, I say right now, the medical field is not exactly prepared for people that have mental illness and medical conditions that are associated with mental illness or untreated childhood trauma.
There's a lot more to be said about this, and maybe if we have an opportunity, we can get back to this topic. But I do want to share with folks your most unusual life that you had that caused you to write this book, From Broken to Blessed. Give us just a peek into your story.
When I was a young girl, my mom was hospitalized for 1.5 years in a mental institution for depression, major depression. I don't know if your listeners remember, in the 60s, somewhere around 1965, right in there, they opened the doors to the mental hospitals, and they let the patients out. They let them go. And what happened was a lot of them ended on the streets. They were not prepared for daily life. They were very sick. My mother was part of that. So when she came home, she was clearly still mentally ill. While she was away, My father, I was in his care, and instead of staying at our little home in upstate New York, we traveled. We traveled to New York and New Jersey while he was, quote-unquote, doing business with me in tow. I did not know really what he did, although I listened. I was precocious and curious. And I really listened carefully to his conversations, but I didn't know really about his, he had a double life. I just didn't, it didn't click with me. As the years went on, throughout my youth, I met many of his business associates. And I still, I met them, I knew them by their first name. I did not, no one talked about last name, so I didn't know. One day, this is just, oh my goodness, one day I was on my BiPAP respirator that I have to use for my neuroautoimmune condition. I was watching TV out of the corner of my eye, and I noticed someone that I recognized on TV. And I, oh my goodness, I sat up and I said out loud, oh my gosh, there's Uncle Myers. Little did I know that it was a documentary on the five families of New York. And Uncle Meyer was Meyer Lansky.
Oh my God.
I know.
Uncle, right?
I found out about what was really happening in my youth when I was 40 years old on my BiPAP respirator. And it gets better because as they talked, I recognized three of the five families that they were discussing. So I did what any self-respecting person would do. Well, first I cried when it just hit me like you can't imagine. I went to Barnes & Noble and to the crime section, and they had something called the Mafia Encyclopedia. And as I read, I wept because I knew then, finally, what and who my father was.
I'm sitting here with just chills. I can't even imagine having to go through that as a child and then not even knowing until 40 years old and by accident seeing it while you're watching television.
Yeah, it was absolutely the biggest surprise of my life.
Wow, this is quite a story and a sad story for a little girl, a little child to have to go through. So obviously this colored your life, and here you are 40 years old with an autoimmune disease, not knowing how that came about. Maybe share with us then from that experience, what can you tell us about untreated childhood trauma?
I can tell you several things. I can tell you that it can affect anyone at any time. I can tell you that for me, it has been 35 years and 70 doctors, and I'm still undiagnosed, even though they have to give me IV treatments, I'm hospitalized frequently, I still don't have a clear diagnosis. They tell me this is very much like myasthenia gravis, but it's a form that they have never seen before.
So what is your advice to a listener who's maybe having some kind of connection with what you're saying? How does one seek help?
I was very resistant. I'm almost embarrassed to tell you that it took me years, actually probably maybe, I guess, 2 decades or so to get help. About 10 years ago, I finally met the wall. I just couldn't. I was having flashbacks and nightmares, and they were corroborative. They were all about the same thing. So I went to a psychiatrist and a therapist, and they told me to start writing it down. And I did. I started writing down what came. That is how this book came to be, which is, I had said that earlier, but I started writing it down and I realized that there was so much that had occurred, and that's why I was sick. They treated me for major depression, PTSD, and which is the flashbacks and nightmares, and untreated childhood trauma. And so the healing eventually took root. There was a lot of prayer in there too. I believe in prayer with all my being. I don't think I'd be here telling the story if I didn't have prayer in my life, have God in my life. But I had gotten to a point about 10 years ago where I had been bedridden for about 12 years shortly before that, and I had PT come to my house. I got stronger and stronger, but I still had this depression that just, oh my goodness, it was totally debilitating. The fatigue that went with it. My respiratory muscles were very weak. All my muscles were not working. which is why I'm on the BiPAP respirator. I'm still on it about 14 hours a day. But in the morning, I do as much ministry as I possibly can.
Mm-hmm. Right, when you're still fresh.
Well, I'm still fresh, mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, getting help is really important, even if you don't have a connection between, if you haven't connected the dots yet. It's very important when you have an autoimmune condition, I believe, to have counseling together with your medical team. It's just that important.
What about medication for depression? Are you taking medication to help with that?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And that is, it's very helpful. It's a life changer. It didn't make my medical condition improve. It didn't make it go away. But it, frankly, helped me have a really solid attitude adjustment. You know, life looks very different when you're in the fog of depression. I have written 3 books, and for my first 2 books, I did a lot of interviewing, and that was one of the things that sparked my interest. Time after time, people would describe their autoimmune conditions and neuro conditions in great detail. And then I would ask them questions that would help me understand if they had any depression that went with it because their situations were so dire. And what I found was that, in fact, I think for the people that I interviewed, maybe 75 or 80% of them had childhood trauma. And so that was compelling for me. My background is in nursing, and normally, other than my own life, I am able to connect the dots. And for these people, most of them were women, the stories that they would tell when they were given the opportunity were compelling. They were sad, tragic, and compelling.
There's so much here that we can talk about, Adele. So you wrote these books, and that's been a cathartic avenue for you. But how then has all of this childhood trauma impacted the rest of your life outside of being an author?
I am married to a wonderful man. I have 2 children. They're, of course, grown. I do a lot of ministry. I work as a chaplain at the local soup kitchen. I make rosaries for the for missions. I have a nephew who's a priest. I make them for him as well. There's a lot of things that I'm involved in. I do a lot of writing. I write for Catholic Online and eZine and, you know, just various things. But ministry has really become the focus of my life since all this happened. Because I believe that I probably wouldn't be here if it weren't for the power of prayer and what God can do in my life and what he has done in my life.
Mm-hmm. You're almost a messenger to be that voice for others to help them not to have to endure some of the things you have.
It could be, Pat. You know, I was very resistant to getting help. I was a weeper. I would weep at the drop of a hat, and often. I suppose most of the people that I know have not seen me without seeing me at some point be weepy. I have a whole new life. I'm not a weeper anymore. I know that God has a plan for my life. I know that he's with me. I know that I'm not alone in this struggle. And I can tell you categorically, I am going to be healed one day, completely. Now, while I'm waiting, I'm on the miracle installment plan, I call it.
I like it.
I'm on the miracle installment plan because I have asked God repeatedly. I do have really good remissions. I have been on my BiPAP respirator as much as 21 hours a day, and right now I'm only on it 12 hours a day in a 24-hour period.
Wow.
That's wonderful progress.
Yes.
My hands had contractures. This is such a God story. Both of my hands had contractures. I couldn't write well. I couldn't open a bottle of water. I couldn't do anything with them. And I started knitting prayer shawls. Well, for church, knitting is not my gift. They had so many holes I couldn't even give them away. So what I did was, I knew I needed exercise in my hands, so I returned to making rosaries, something I've been doing for years, Catholic rosaries, and for the missions. And can you believe it? After 6 years of my hands being contractured, like what I just mentioned, if you saw my hands today, you wouldn't know there was ever a problem.
Oh, boy. Bless you.
So I think the Lord's given me many, many blessings. In all this, He's given me blessings, and I don't take it for granted at all.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. You know, having gone from being bedridden to being able to walk, I was wheelchair-bound and bedridden. When my children were little, it was not easy raising them, and it wasn't easy for them either.
Mm-hmm.
But it took a village. I had so many people helping me to raise my kids, and they're two wonderful human beings today. But I would say to our listeners that there is help, but sometimes you have to put aside the stigma of going for mental health care, and just do it.
Mm-hmm.
How different my life would have been if I had been willing to do that when I was young. In my own defense, my mother, God bless her, she lived with schizophrenia. She was a very, it really had her. She spent all of her waking hours doing the opposite of what I'm doing here today. She tried every way she knew to convince herself and the people around her that she did not have mental illness. She was untreated for schizophrenia. She was on Haldol briefly, and it helped her so much, and then she went off of it, and that was the end of it. But she was very, very sick, and she just suffered dearly. But I had that in my mind about the stigma, and I couldn't hop that hurdle. And I would say to our listeners today, if you feel sad for longer than 3 weeks, that is called clinical depression. If you have anxiety off the hook, if you have, beyond the usual anxiety that people have, if you find yourself, even with conditions like OCD, those things, and PTSD, of course, the flashbacks and nightmares, those things are signals. When you combine them with medical or when they're not combined, you need to get help, and help is available. Insurance will pay for you to go, and it's very available. If you don't have insurance, you can always go to the health department.
And I think this is very wise advice, and I want to continue that because you also offer 7 steps to go from broken to blessed. Maybe go through those for a bit.
In my book, there's chapter 10, actually, anybody who reads the book, there are 7 steps to go from broken to blessed, and I'm going to go through them quickly for the sake of time. I know, anybody wants to learn more about them, they're more than welcome to read them in my book, in our book. The first one is acknowledge your brokenness. You can't help yourself if you can't admit that there's a problem. It's just the first step. I say as early as possible, and I did not do this initially. I say pray daily for strength and healing and invite Jesus into your life. He's the greatest hope the world has ever known, from where I sit. When you turn in that direction, your life will change. The next one is evict negative thoughts, both about yourself and others. Because if you look back with total disdain for the job that your parents did or, you know, whoever, you will not look at yourself in a healthy way as well. It's sort of negativity just breeds negativity. You need to try to look favorably on yourself. I found that I've given both of my parents a really big pass. My mother was so sick that her cruelty is just on the sidelines at this point. For my father, he grew up in the Bronx, and what else did he know? He was a mechanical engineer. He put that aside to follow his double life. But I have to believe on some level he did the best that he could from where he had come from. The fourth step in the seven steps to go from broken to blessed is reach for forgiveness, and that ties in with the negativity. I say reach because it's really a reach. There are people in this world that are unforgivable, but we have to forgive them anyway. As a Christian, I believe that. So we have to find a way to forgive people, even if it's only for our own physical and mental health. It might have nothing to do with the other person. It might just be the gift you give yourself. You need to accept your own imperfections and those of others. None of us is perfect. Certainly, we've all had our share of imperfections. And at some point, you can even find humor in your own imperfections and those of others. We need to learn to look for silver linings in adversity. Actually, I think I've got that down pat. I think that I've had enough situations that I could be a silver lining specialist.
I like it. You're funny.
I don't know. I find myself in the most obscure times thinking, oh, there's a silver lining in there. And the last one is to embrace the healing that awaits you. It's my belief that God has healing for each and every one of us. As I said earlier, it may be simply an attitude adjustment. It may be how you look at other people. It may be, you know, healing relationships. He will heal you if you ask him. He might not do the whole thing, but you will get some relief. So I say embrace the healing that awaits you. And those are the seven steps to go from broken to blessed.
Wow. Outstanding. And that can be found in your book in chapter 10. So with that, where can folks find out more? Where can they purchase this book?
It's on Amazon. It's on Barnes & Noble. It's very easy to get online. You just go to either one of those websites, and you can pick it up there. From Broken to Blessed, Embracing the Healing That Awaits You is a book that it is a memoir, written as a memoir, but in the end, there is what we call the healing workshop. And it's a self-help section in the book. So if you read my story and it resonates with you and you say, oh my gosh, this woman gets me. I don't know how, but I need to help myself. I need to move on in my own life. You can go to the healing workshop and get that process started. It's designed to help people with untreated childhood trauma to begin the healing process. The format is in such a way, they're questions that sort of open you up a little bit, just a little bit. And the healing workshop can be done together with other people. It can be done alone or with a therapist. I would suggest if you really feel that you've had significant trauma, and it could be one event or it could be a series of events. It could be your whole life that you lived, as mine was. You can go to that section and get started, but I do suggest doing it with a therapist if you know on some level that your background is complicated. The healing workshop is free, of course. It's obviously something that you would do on your own volition, but it could really help you heal from untreated childhood trauma.
And your website is taken from your silver lining idea, silverliningcommunications.net. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. Silverliningcommunications.net. And your blog I mentioned in the beginning was theinspirationcafeblog.net. Adele, we've learned so much today. I want to just lightly recap that we talked about the negative effects of untreated childhood trauma and how those are treatable, and that it's often the root cause of mind-body illnesses, and that mind-body healing is possible, and they're shared by chemistry, and your faith, that you say that God is the great healer, providing help in times of need. Just so much to talk about here. And as we begin to wrap up, is there anything you want to leave our listeners with, any final words?
I think for me, it's all about God's love. I think He allowed me to have the life that I have. I think that He has brought me to the point in my life where I am now, and I'm most grateful for that. He's the great healer, and He's there 24/7. You don't have to call anyone to get His help. I say combine prayer and therapy, and for some, not everyone, for some, medication, and you will be amazed at how your life can change for the better.
It's quite a toolbox, right?
It's a toolbox.
It is. Adele, thank you so much for bearing your soul and sharing your life so that others might be helped sooner rather than later. So head over to silverliningcommunications.net, theinspirationcafeblog.net, and the name of the book, again, is From Broken to Blessed, Embracing the Healing That Awaits You. Adele Gill, you are quite a woman. Thank you for being here, and thank you for sharing you with us.
Thank you for the opportunity, Pat.